but it is the most faggot goddamn thing you can ever imagine.
Hello and welcome. We're here again, therightstuff.biz. We're proud to present the special summer chimp out edition of the Daily Showa.
This is the Daily Showa.
I'm your resident house nigger, Bjorn, the seventh son, sitting with me on the death panel this week, the one, the only, Cleedon.
What's going on?
The always creepy and articulate Ghoul.
Yep.
And joining us for the next 14 minutes and 88 seconds, the Grand Wizard, Mr. Alexander McNabb.
Hello and welcome.
The walking, talking, intellectual property violation, Bulbasaur.
Hi.
And of course, the owner and proprietor of this here plantation, Mr. Michael Enoch.
Hey, what's up?
Well, boys, looks like we should have started a pool or something on how many episodes we'd have in the can before our first major chimp out took place. I can't believe it was only two, but here we are. The winner is two.
It's that time of year, you know, gets hot out in the hood, you know, they ain't got air conditioning and shit.
Right, I mean, it's, you know, global warming actually is linked to violence, so hot temperatures lead to these sorts of altercations.
Oh,
oh, shit. Well, where should we start? Should we start at the beginning?
Yeah. You had wanted
in the beginning.
In the beginning,
that was word, yo.
It's like they were like poised and waiting for the next thing that smelled like it was Trayvon, you know, and they like jumped right on it, and they like they always do. They blew their load a little bit too soon, right?
But he didn't do nothing wrong.
He didn't do nothing.
Oh, they were. It's like literally within like 24 hours of it happening, they had the whole like exact same narratives last time laid out. And I mean, it came unraveling even quicker. It looks like it's starting to even quicker this time. Trayvon, they like managed to ride that for a few months, I think.
Yeah, I'm amazed at how pre-packaged and pre-assembled all of this shit is. You know, like all the pieces are in place, and they just have to plug in the actual name of the person.
The exact same the method with like the like innocent photos of him, and then when you come out with the photos of him flashing gang signs and with guns and all that shit, they're just like, oh, you're just assassinating his character. The idea that a Negro like him has character.
Jesus. That was a long one.
Do we even need to like go over the facts of this? I'm
about,
sure
about
that
like
most
a, about,
people
about a
are.
Quick outline.
I mean, suppose we could. Who wants to?
Apparently, he was walking down the middle of the street. The cop stopped him, and he assaulted the cop, and apparently tried to get the cop's gun. So the cop shot him, and then it came out after that he had earlier robbed a convenience store or something.
That's not what I heard.
Yeah, we have his friend's testimony, though. You know, you can always rely on the perp's, you know, accomplice as giving you the straight skinny. And our friend Sean, he wrote up a pretty good, you know, breakdown. Basically, the key points of his buddy's story was, you know, they're walking down the middle of the street, and the cop, you know, obviously wants them to get the fuck on the sidewalk, totally unreasonable. And rather than just getting on the sidewalk, you know, which maybe if I had just robbed a store, I think maybe I would just, you know, oh shit, there's a cop and I just robbed the store, I'm gonna get on the sidewalk. No, they decide to be like, fuck you, we're almost there. And what? So his buddy says the cop tried to open the door to get out and give them shit. And of course, he opens the door and it hit Brown and it just ricocheted shut. Because that's what car doors do.
Right.
They hit a slight bit of resistance and they ricochet shut violently. So, what we got is, you know, he shoved the door back into the cop and jumped in there and tried to grab the gun. But, of course, the liberal narrative is, he was 35 feet away, he wasn't a threat to anybody. The cop got out and said, I'm gonna shoot you! He shot him in the back, and after shooting him in the back is when we have the, puts his hands up, don't shoot, I'm not armed! It sounds like a stupid team.
Enya plays.
Right. It's just a stupid teenager. You know, I don't know if you guys ever been there when you were kids, but, you know, you do something wrong and you try to make up a story that is kind of close to what happened, and but it's not, you know.
Hope that they just bite.
Yeah, so that's what we have there, but, you know.
Well, yeah, just because they have the mind of a child doesn't make him a child, right? It's like, fucking guy, what is he? Like, look at the pictures of him. He's like 6.5 feet, 250 pounds.
He going to college. He going to start college.
The funniest thing about all that is when the left, when, you know, all these white leftists come in and they try to paint the Negro in question as like this innocent, like flower, this like young promising black that was going to probably, you know,
well, first they do that.
Once he learns science. But that actually, if you, when you go back and you look at how the individual in question wanted to portray themselves, like, they would have...
we all want to act like gangsters.
Hold up.
Right? It's just childish fooling around. He's not really in the crypts of the blood.
Yeah, he's being ironic with those gang signs.
Yeah, right, because white people, white hipsters flash gang signs ironically. That means black gangsters also must be doing it, right?
Yes.
Well, he was actually...
I don't think they can grasp the concept of irony.
White hipsters also rob convenience stores, ironically.
He did that for the lulz, of course. So, I mean, what have we got? So we've got security video of him robbing the store, and it's allegedly. I heard some rumblings that the guy in the video has different shoes on. Maybe he changed his shoes.
No, his love day kicks. You know what I'm saying?
I don't even think he changed them. Those look like the same shoes. I don't know.
I mean,
it was just fucking face off. That's what happened.
So this is like the moon landing all over again.
It's the moon landing, and it's also the fact that it's not him because he has different shoes on. That's just reinforcing our narrative that they all look the same, anyways.
He must have quit.
I mean, it's really amazing, like, to me, the way that the white leftists can continually, like, squirm out of the facts, like, update their narrative, change things around continuously. Like, they don't update their narrative. The narrative stays the same, but the way they keep reframing it, right? The way they spin, they're like,
oh, no, well, he was just an innocent little black boy, and then you're like, actually, he wasn't all that innocent. And they're like, oh, well, then it becomes, okay, he wasn't innocent. They don't even, like, try and argue that. They just move positions to, okay, well, he wasn't innocent, but he didn't deserve to die.
He didn't deserve to die. Yeah.
And they always like, just completely discount the fact and treat as, like, completely made up that he might have attacked. Like, it's preposterous that he might have attacked
the police officer. Whoever
heard of that happen?
Yeah, and the thing is they're at the same time they're taking away any possibility of these people having free will,
yep.
Which is kind of like the crux of it. It's like I'm trying to defend these people as human beings, but no, you're not. You've actually removed every possibility, any possibility of them being human.
Yeah, because there's the contention that they should not have released video of this convenience store robbery because it would have incited the sort of, you know, vibrant protesting we see now.
And it did, didn't it?
Yeah.
And the white left explanation for that is what they're like, they're class conscious beings. they're fighting the system that is oppressing them.
Right. They're beginning to, they're beginning a spiritual awakening to, like, the oppressive nature of capitalist property relations and revolting. Yeah. I mean, the idea, like, that is so absurd. Like, this fucking white...
If you said that to one of these people, the blank stare...
Yeah.
The hooting...
Before they attack you.
The thousand-yard stare you would get in return would just be like...
My dick.
you would literally get, like, you talk like a fag, and your shit's all retarded, and then, you know, you could get robbed.
They'd attack you.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, the best way to fight the power is to steal fried chicken and malt liquor. I mean, obviously. I mean, as a white person, when I think about, you know, revolting, that's the first thing that comes to mind. Stealing fried chicken and malt liquor.
Yeah. That's one of the things that always blew my mind. It's like, okay, you're outraged, so... Why don't you attack the, you know, institutions you hold and people you hold responsible for this? No, it's...
Well, yeah, you got the blacks. You got the blacks on Twitter, like tweeting, "Oh, come on, brothers, attack the white people." But those are like the small percentage of blacks who, like, you know, are intelligent enough to get into that like abstract political ideology and the kind of like forward thinking that you need to like actually plan a kind of revolt against the system. Where the people who they're fucking tweeting to are never actually going to fucking follow their advice because they're more interested in fucking fried chicken, right? They can't think anything beyond fried chicken.
I hate fried chicken.
If it's not right in front of them, then they're not going to fucking respond to it.
Right, like, like an open store with free shit is, that's an immediate...
The idea that they could walk for a half hour and get to, like, some ritzy white area and fucking make off with all kinds of fat loot is just, like, it escapes them.
Well, a store with I hate to give credence to the left framing, but to that, like, a store filled with stuff that somebody has, you have to walk in and pay for, like, assembling the Capitol and having that little building filled with stuff and then money in there is so foreign to a lot of them that it doesn't matter who owns it to them.
They don't understand where money comes from, right? As far as they know, white man cooks up money at his convenience and just withholds it from black man because he wants to oppress him and keep him down. Right,
so destroying his neighbor's shop, he's still destroying the man because he doesn't know.
He doesn't really recognize that he's destroying his own neighborhood in a area that's been isolated from the rest of civilization because
commerce
we all
oppression.
Kind of tacitly accept that this is the behavior that will happen whenever, you know, gives me that behavior.
But it's not even approaching them when they're in that state that they're attacking their own neighbors. It's like they get carried up in the mob mentality. And I mean, fucking, you can multiply the intensity of that tenfold just on account of them being Negroes. And fucking, next thing you got, it's like an animal kind of fucking insanity.
You mean
they're not like, yeah, I'm going in to rob my neighbor. They're straight ooga-booging out. They're just fucking, they're just carried away with it.
All this stuff is here in this store, and we can't just have it. That makes it the enemy. So it doesn't matter who owns it, because...
I honestly don't even know the enemy. Like Clayton was saying, I don't even know that abstract concepts like enemy even enter into it. I mean, I don't know...
I'm giving them too much agency myself, yeah, I know.
Yeah, you're already granting... You're already projecting your white thought process onto them.
There was an article that Bulbasaur put out a while ago, where I forgot exactly what it was about, but you included that image of that billboard from South Africa somewhere. It was just like, stop beating your wife or something. And mob justice. And it's like got all these people like attacking this man. Like cops are trying to like get in the way. But there was that blog you linked to it that you were inspired to write this article from, and it was this testimony from this guy who went to South Africa and other places in Africa, I'm not sure. I can't remember, but I know what you're talking about.
He was a teacher for like a few decades, talking about their ability to think abstractly, but having one second he'll be all calm, and the next second the same guy will be necklacing someone, and then 10 minutes after you necklace him, he's just like standing around, normal, happy, personable guy without like any kind of conscience of what he's done. He doesn't realize what he's done.
One of the more interesting things I thought was when he was talking about their languages there, the native languages like Zulu, saying like they had words for things like obligation or like I will do this, but they
promise,
had no,
yeah.
But they had no concept of what a promise is, or like they couldn't even comprehend it when you were trying to explain it to them.
You have to translate it as like vines that bind you to the ground or some kind of physical concept like that.
Yeah.
And the blacks are they're all confused by the concept of a dictionary because they're like, who doesn't know every word in their language? Mm-hmm. How many words does their language have? Like 300 or 400. So even the most childlike black can remember that, right? You can train Coco the monkey to remember that many words.
I remember that was the one where they didn't have words for numbers. All they said was they would say numerous. That was the closest. That was all they had, right? That was amazing.
Like above a certain number, it's just many.
That was just that blew
like one, two, three, and many.
Blew my mind. That's amazing.
Well, I mean, that's kind of why Africa is what it is.
Well, yeah,
that,
I mean, when you read that, it's like, oh, everything makes
the way it is because of British people.
Oh, colonialism, exactly.
Yeah, we came in and, you know, invented scripts for them and gave them technology and, you know, built up infrastructure and abolished slavery and
God,
converted
what?
Them to Christianity.
What
and,
a colossal
and
fuck
cured up. Disease and raised their infant mortality rate, so raised the Malthusian trap and, you know, gave them sustainable agriculture and... And, I mean, we also gave them all kinds of weapons, so, and then we left, you know, and, of course, giving them self-rule, what we have now is Africa in a state like it was before there was any colonialism, except now they have, like, fucking 21st century technology.
Yeah.
So it's like fucking Zulu shit, except with AK-47s and fucking tanks.
And for some reason,
Toyota, really, because it's like most of them can't fucking upkeep an actual modern army, so they end up fucking in the back of technicals, which is pretty cool. I mean, I'm all about technicals.
But that reminds me of a picture I've seen of, I guess it was some tribal warfare happening in Africa. And it's two blacks, they're armed with AKs, and one is wearing a life jacket. And
like they're dressed up in tutus and top hats and shit. And
one of them has a life jacket.
Yeah. That was Liberia and Sierra Leone, I think. They got all kind of fucked up over there. But I mean, just like the picture of like 15 niggas hanging off the back of a fucking Toyota pickup truck, and like one of them fucking is shooting off a fucking heavy machine gun. Fucking, they're all got like t-shirts over their head and shit, and fucking hold RPGs with one hand. It's just great. I don't know. It's just fucking awesome. I'm rooting for those guys, you know? It's like, don't get fucking hit by a howler there, buddy. I want to see you fucking succeed.
So I need to get back on the subject.
It's very white of me, right? Rooting for the underdog.
I think the issue is that whites don't understand this kind of rioting and looting behavior. That's not something that's in our consciousness, really.
Exactly.
And that's why we project all these weird narratives on it.
Like the French Revolution.
I mean,
that's the only way we understand it.
It's never occurred to me to go to the convenience store and steal all the hair extensions and, you know, malt liquor and fried chicken as a form of political protest. That's never crossed my mind.
No.
I mean, it is a form of political protest in the sense that it's a form of, this is the way they respond to stimuli of any kind. So, like, negative external stimuli, be it political or whatever, they're going to fucking champ out and riot. So that's about as far as you can take it, if you're going to call it political, right? It's like this is, they're just doing what they do. And we understand it through the way, because when was the last time, when do white people chimp out when we're all carried away by Nazism or communism or whatever, right?
But that was all really orderly, so.
Don't chimp out to do that kind of thing.
Like, well, yeah, because when white people chimp out like white people, blacks chimp out like blacks, obviously. So when white people chimp out, we're going to be wearing sexy-ass uniforms and putting people into camps.
Then we can get in line in March.
Straight up. What's funny is that sometimes you get, like, really shitty groups of white people, like anarchists, trying to chimp out, but they can't muster it. Like, in the city, there was this thing, like the anarchists tried to break, like, the window of a Starbucks, because like, you know, evil corporation, and like, they couldn't do it. Like, they failed
Toronto?
And just got arrested.
Was that in Toronto?
This was in New York.
In
it probably happened in Toronto.
That happened, I remember that happening in Toronto during that.
I'm sure it's happened multiple times, but yeah, a bunch of white anarchists at some Marxist conference, sitting around talking about...
Like
capitalist oppression. Then they there's a Starbucks right across the street. They're like, let's do it, man. They went out, they tried, failed, police showed
they're
up.
They're standing there trying to break it, and then they're like covering their face from the cameras, being like, respect our privacy. It's like, who the fuck do you little faggots think that you are? Seriously.
Yeah. And then, of course, they're going to try and sue the police afterwards for while I was trying to destroy property, a policeman bruised my shoulder.
Oh, it was great. In Toronto, they like rounded them up and put them in some like old fucking rundown condemned building that had been converted into like cattle pens. It was like fucking, it was great. It's like big fucking bullpens. They just shoved everyone in there and kept them there all weekend, like 1,000 people or something.
Didn't they do that? They did that to the first OWS too, I think. They did that in Occupy Wall Street.
They did that in New York City during the Republican convention.
Yeah.
When George W. Bush was elected the second time. It was like right around, like, leftists were still all fucking butt-chapped about Iraq and like anarchists.
They're all so sure he would lose, right? And then like
all these, like, and like it was.
I wish I was old enough to appreciate that.
The GOP did their convention at Madison Square Garden, right in Midtown, and there's just protests everywhere. So the police actually started just rounding people up and putting them in warehouses in like Brooklyn and shit and just leaving them there. So all the politicians left town. I didn't really give a shit at the time. I still don't give a shit. Like, honestly, like, oh, my First Amendment rights. Again, I'm not, there's mitigating circumstances here. I mean, plus, you know, like, well, we could go into, you know, the right to form a violent mob or not, but whatever.
Well, in their own fucking, in all anarchist lines of thought, how would you get a protest anywhere if everything is, well, I suppose with the communism, everything is commonly owned. I guess you can just mob up anywhere. But ANCAPs, you can't protest anywhere. The street and the sidewalks are all owned by somebody that you have to get permission from, right? Yeah.
So you have an
I think they would justify that, saying that like public property is actually like a sham.
It's unjust,
and so we
don't have to obey the property rights of the government.
Oh, yes.
The government is for us.
Oh, no. I'm saying in their dream state of ANCAPistan after the revolution.
Oh, okay, yeah.
If they want to protest.
After the revolution, yeah, there's no
They'd problem. Have to go to like the private like protest contractors and get like a permit or something.
Yeah, you got the private protest contract. Yeah.
Because starting
a
mob.
They have to like rent a free speech zone and fucking set that up and like pay dues, like a percentage of it would go to the people they're protesting for the right to like use
the
property.
Right.
I can actually get behind, I mean, in many ways, you can actually get behind that if it would actually work out like that.
Yeah, that's like, that would work out if it's like there was an RPG and you were the only player and everyone else was like an NPC or something.
But then you have
nobody else at all has any agency.
You then have a stricter permitting process than you have now, which is the best part is because they have a narco in their fucking, that's the prefix to what they
are. Yes, but see, there would be no coercion. You have to run around all these like hoops and jump through all these hoops and run through all these mazes to make sure there's no coercion for the same outcome, and you can just fucking do it like normal people who fucking, you know, accept some realities of life.
Yeah, like you just have the state do all this shit and bypass your fucking crazy. The thing is, the state doesn't even bypass that many rules that, like, violate. Like, they actually take care to not.
And honestly, they're like, well, the state doesn't have the people's consent. It's like, they have my consent, anarchist, so fuck you.
Yeah, like, I really.
Even if a lot of that's just to spite you. Fuck you.
I actually got into a little bit of a scuffle with a left libertarian this afternoon.
Oh yes, I can't wait
over
to hear
that. Oh, God. Over that,
we gotta get into this.
Some of you saw this, right? Yeah. Over that image of that vibrant individual, you know, he was a very energetic and spirited multicultural person. Throwing a tear gas grenade.
Oh, was that the guy?
You've seen it. It's the guy
got the American flag shirt.
Yeah, he's got the American flag tank top. He's firing.
Was this the guy who was saying that he was like Stockholm syndrome? He's like, oh, it's a shame that he's wearing like the symbol of his oppressors.
Yeah,
he's protesting. Oh, can you say Stockholm syndrome? See, I'm sure that's what the media has.
He's wearing the emblem of his oppressor.
And it's not even like the American flag. It's like some blinged out, like, rap label version of the American flag. With, like, fucking, like, it's like all washed out colors and fucking like tinted and shit and fucking like blood drops. It's, I don't know. It's fucking, it's swaggy. It's swaggy as fuck.
Okay, well, what was this back and forth thing you had though?
All right. So yeah. So he's saying to me. So he's like one. He's calling me like a white supremacist and all this crap. And I'm like, all right, whatever. This guy's a fucking homo, but whatever. Like, so he puts up this picture and he's like, I want to know. Like, I want to know how this makes you feel, as if like watching this. Right. As if, like, looking at this picture of this guy doing this is going to, like, shake my ideology. like it's going to shake my confidence. Like, I'm going to be like, oh, so I'm seeing this, whoa.
It turns out Marx was right after all.
Right. Because really, my ideology is really motivated by, like, a fundamental fear of the black man and wanting to keep him down to maintain, like, the privilege that I enjoy in, like, a white supremacist society. And so I see a black man, like, rising up against that system, and I'm, like, intimidated. I feel kind of afraid. And that's why I want the police to, like, just crack down on this guy. And then he's like, and I'm like, yeah, I really don't feel that threatened. Like, I expect that he threw that and he was either arrested or
like,
you know, beaten or whatever, like, or dispersed in some way. And then it's
what,
like,
what was his reaction?
Well, yeah, I mean, he then was like, no, I just want to know what you morally think, because, like, the police officer was aggressing against him first by throwing a tear gas grenade at him. Oh. He's defending himself by throwing it back. And I'm like, yeah, there's no way you can pull all that context from this image, as if, like, in a group of rioting people, like the police have the time and ability to like differentiate who's violated NAP and who hasn't. there's a group of like blacks like basically chimping out in front of you as a riot cop, and you're supposed to like rationally like like separate them into categories of like NAP violators.
I wonder if you can market like some kind of fascist RoboCop to them.
Yeah, RoboCop can like he's got like a he has like a heads up display like immediately knows like NAP
violation of the NAP.
The NAP violation. Like that, like the head lights up on his display. Like
as initiate he argumentation ethics.
Chimpanzee, gorilla, like, orangutan.
That we never would have had this problem in the first place. You know, like whenever he encountered didn't do nothings the first time, he would have realized that there was no reason to ever think of employing lethal force against this guy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
only had some sort of algorithm or system to classify this person and, you know, understand where they're coming from and the fact they've experienced systemic oppression their entire life, you know, and put it in the correct context. None of this would have ever happened if you could have done that.
Did you all see that Onion article? Like, I mean, it was the most, like, almost non-satirical Onion article I ever saw. Like, the headline was... From cops to black people. It was like, look, you have to understand, even though you're unarmed, you're still black. I mean, I saw that. I'm like, wait, is this? Oh, like, oh my, that's the Onion.
I was surprised when I saw it was the Onion.
I thought it was just like I was kind of like, well, yeah. I mean, that's the whole point of this thing. But I
but you got to understand, the Onion is still filtering it through the mainstream progressive narrative that like. That like the cops are racist and blacks are victims of this.
Oh,
you know, everybody
gets pretty edgy. The Onion, but then they called some little black girl a cunt or something, and they got all fucking all shit on all over by everyone. And they've been kind of pussy ever since then.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if they were ever edgy, but
they were more willing to toe the line than they are now. They've moved to the left.
I remember them being pretty funny in the past, but I mean, like, the last time I ever read an Onion article, it was something like, like, breaking news, man finally accepts realistic body image of woman. It's like, fucking, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, I mean, they did some pretty good ones on
immigration and on kebab and shit, and they've done the ones like, what is it, it's like, neighborhood man horrified to find out like the local bigot is educated and articulate or something like that.
Oh,
that's actually funny. Actually jams the narrative a little bit, but yeah, right. I mean,
but this one was like, I mean, that's a real concern. Like, you have to do you guys ever read? There's a blog out there. Maybe I'll just plug it. The Stuff Black People Don't Like blog.
Yeah.
I mean, if you read anything on there. With it all an open mind. I mean, you can't just say, shut it down, it's racist. I mean, if you're a cop and this is who you deal with on it day in and day out, that's a legit concern. Like, you may not be armed, but you are black and you might punch me in the face. When these people complain, like, whatever he did he didn't deserve to lose his life.
Don't know that.
They don't know that, and they don't realize, like, alright, if I'm me and I'm standing here and there's a cop right there, I know what kind of behavior I can exhibit that would trigger the cop to make him want to come fuck with me. I know how to act to make him leave me alone.
That's your white privilege.
Right.
But if there's a thuggy black dude sitting there, I'm at a loss. Anything can trigger him. I could look at my shoes funny, and he could decide he wants them.
He thinks that you want him to shine them or something.
Yeah.
You told me to shine your shoes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, any, there's erratic, I mean, they're so erratic in some cases that you don't know. So, that Onion headline just, like, was like, I had to do a double take just because that's what
I'm concerned. What's all this shit with, like, when you break, when, like, everything's broken down, you break down every wall, you find out, like, he wasn't an innocent person, he did assault X and Y, like, he got shot for logical reasons, then it comes back down to, like, his life was infinitely
systemic
valuable.
Oppression.
All this value placed on, like, well, he was a breathing being, therefore, it was wrong. It's like,
it's not wrong. It's not right to kill him.
You don't have.
He's already killed the cop. Once he's already killed the cop, then you can kill him. But you have to wait till he's already killed.
Yeah. But it's that misplaced sense of value. Like, why is he valuable? Why is his life valuable? I'm legitimately wondering here, and I'm not trying to be edgy right now.
No, it's because they don't have a reason. Like, they don't have any, they can't really, I mean, some of them are Christian and refer to God, but a lot of them don't. You know, it just is.
A lot of it's like that post-God shit where we're all still valuable, even though it's for no reason. It's like, as far as reality is concerned, your, like, idle hands are useless.
We're all insignificant specks of dust, you know, who just came about randomly through process of selection, and all our feelings and thoughts are just chemicals in the brain. But every life matters because human race.
but to the usefulness of people, it's like, you know, there are people who are obviously much more valuable than other people, and they can prove it. They can demonstrate their, like, you know, valuable people can demonstrate their value. It's like, why was he valuable? What did he do that made him valuable? I'm wondering.
He going to college.
Like he was going to college.
He had emotions like you do.
You make him a bunch of money. No, he's going to get his, now he's dead, his parents are going to make a lot of money. So he's pretty valuable now. No, he wasn't.
Yeah, he's actually more valuable dead.
Yeah, I mean, think about how much millions, how many millions of dollars Trayvon's parents walked off.
Oh my God.
I mean, I'm sure they don't want him back. They're getting their like on right now.
I really doubt. I mean, from what I understand, I really doubt his mother at the very least would like trade him now for the money that she has. I really doubt it.
She said, yo, nigga, I can make 10 more Trayvon. Yo, I got that money, yo. She probably still draw a welfare check for every kid she pops in.
Yeah.
Well, I have another little, I don't know, I jotted some notes down when I was all, like, worked up about this, and since you brought up Trayvon and stuff, it's kind of like, I was kind of thinking that everybody who watched this and is all, fuck the police, I mean, really, you should just, like, back off and calm down. aside from that, I think you should feel grateful where you can still get away with shooting black people. Like, you're probably never going to have it happen to you. Like, you're probably never going to be in the position, but if it ever happens to you, like, if you're ever Zimmerman and you're ever pinned down and you're armed, it's nice to know that you can shoot that unarmed kid, and eventually, even though your character will be destroyed by the media and everything, you do essentially get away with it.
It's funny how many of these libertarians are hypocrites, too, because, right, they're supposed to be all anti-police, so, okay, you're anti-police, you're pro-private defense, you're pro-citizens carrying arms and defending themselves. But then Zimmerman shoots Trayvon, and what do they all do? They denigrate him as a wannabe cop. So cops are evil, and even though Zimmerman's not a cop, he's evil because he's a wannabe cop. How do we know he's a wannabe cop? Because he was neighborhood watch.
I think he was also wannabe white.
Wants to defend his community. Hell yeah!
Which I'm good with.
Him an honorary.
I'm good with him being wannabe white. White presenting nationalism. White
well,
presenting
nationalism. Well, that's actually a thing that I would take. Our favorite commie used to talk about was that essentially you get inducted into, like, being an official white person by, like, killing a minority. like that. Like, George Zimmerman was, like, a chubby little Latino, and then, like, he shot a black, and he gained white privilege through that act of, like, ritual sacrifice.
Right.
He, like, gained the magic power of white privilege. I mean, we know someone that actually believes this.
How we are all inducted into whiteness is by shooting innocent black teenagers. Doesn't anyone know this?
Yeah, I mean, they
That's
don't
how
know
I became
this
one.
Cult that we, yeah, right, yeah, we shouldn't probably talk about this on the air, like we're revealing too many secrets.
I killed 2 black teenagers just in case, you know, like double.
Here's
my question.
Shut it down.
So why was it that it was immediately assumed before we knew the identity of the police officer, anyone involved, that it was racism? It had to have been a white racist cop.
I'm pretty sure the witnesses, all the black witnesses, probably would have been like,
I was praying for a brown cop. I was like, please let this guy know.
Yeah.
It would be absorbed into the narrative anyway, because the cops work for white people. So
yeah, he's internal. The black cop has internalized the systemic oppression and is like using it to like channeling it out toward his own.
It really depends, because if the cop was as black as midnight, then it would no longer be
about calling for his head either. They wouldn't be like, let's kill this black cop. They'd be like, he's guilty, but it's not his fault because he's being used by the white man.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, if he was as black as midnight, it wouldn't, like, obviously no one would be calling for his head. But if he was just like a, if he was just like a tinge more, like, light skin.
Well, do you remember the cop in?
Then it really matters, and it's like, how do you, I don't know, it's like the only, like, the way you make your skin more, or like, less pigmented is just by killing minorities,
well,
obviously.
That would be great. You know,
like, when I was born, I was actually a black baby, but I killed a lot of minorities. And now you can see the results. They're beautiful.
God. Sammy Sosa must be fucking a serial killer.
Oh my God.
But you remember the cop?
Michael Jackson always got some dirty secrets.
Oh God. Yeah, he does. But you remember the cop? Was it Boys in the Hood or Menace to one of those 90s?
Boys in the Hood.
You just a nigga.
I was hoping it was that guy, you know. But it's.
Well, yeah, I want to kind of go back to the whole libertarian thing, and you're talking about.
I have a little bit on that too for you. Sure, go for it.
How two-faced they are about the narrative, and I think the main thing driving them is they all buy into this idea that conservatives are a lost cause, and their entire program now is about appealing to liberals. Like, and you see it everywhere. Yeah. That's their MO.
Rising Witch is just the most extreme manifestation of that.
Well, you also have like Sarah Harvard and
basically
any, pretty much any libertarian that has graduated from any of those stupid indoctrination classes from like 2010 and on, they're all just super liberal and they're making all these liberal talking points. And simultaneously, you know, they're going to talk about infiltrating the Republicans. And, you know, once upon a time, I thought, you know, that's real triggering. You know, it's like, oh, you know, why do you want to try and bring that garbage in? It's like, no, you're not trying to signal anything to the right. Everything you're doing is about trying to seem like you're actually going to achieve leftist ideals to bring these people in, to give
right,
more attention. You know, and that's like the Young Voices thing. Everything they're doing is about appealing to the lowest common denominator, and the lowest common denominator votes Democrat.
Right, yeah. Like, and they have no chance of getting their message across to the hard left. All they're doing is perpetuating the narrative.
Right,
yeah, right. I mean, they're just corrupting libertarianism with that.
They're like a honeypot.
Narrative
they stop
without...
people from going off the reservation. They
right,
ultimately
yeah.
just keep votes in the Democrat Party.
Yeah. Right, and that sort of goes into the whole thing of the cathedral as like a self-perpetuating distributed system. But we can have some like complex neo-reactionary crap that we don't need to talk about. But
well, I mean, and that
it's true. That shit has been increasing. It's like voluntarism. It's like voluntarism is like it's Rothbard as a drag queen. That's
right. Yeah, voluntarism is like completely fully retarded. Like that's the shit where it's like literally every social interaction has to be. Like jumping through, right? Yeah. Like if you give me a reach around,
don't force me to jerk you off. I don't want to jerk you off unless I really want to.
Yeah, and I mean these guys. It's funny because it's like these brutalist libertarians, right? Like the supposed right wing,
the frauds.
It's like gigantic frauds.
So like, yeah, you'll be like, you know, in your private in the privacy of your own property. You'll say the word nigger, you'll sort of maybe fess up a little bit to the black problem. But then when this happens, like you're not gonna rationally look at it because
to the poor oppressed niggers, but you still call them niggers. They're like, oh, those poor niggers are being oppressed, those poor inferior stupid niggers.
The police have to be wrong. They're violating any systemically. I mean,
I think Alex is trying to get in there.
Is a vibrant individual or vibrant not nigger. We don't call them niggers. Vibrant, visual, vibrant.
Or dindus. Dindus is like my new favorite word. Because it's like tribal. It's very tribal.
Yeah,
it speaks to their culture.
Whoever thought that up was wonderful. I want to shake.
I think of them as like little black hobbits. Didn't do nothing.
I think that's sort of organic.
Shire folk.
That's funny. I think
who the fuck said that? Shire folk. That was great.
That was me.
Ghoul. 1 point for ghoul.
But they're really not Shire folk. The Shire folk were very
useful and
kind of industrious.
Let's not overthink it. They like to smoke a lot.
Obviously.
They're woolly and hairy. They smoke a lot.
I've read
the underground.
Lord of
Well, hobbits actually cleaned themselves, and they weren't very aggressive.
Yeah, they're orcs. God damn it, they're fucking orcs. It's so fucking obvious. Jesus Christ.
Like, do we even have to discuss this? It's disgraceful.
The orcs the wah, they have the big wah that's fucking orcs.
And clearly, and then Wormtongue is the merchant, and you know it's all so clear.
I'm just going to assume that everyone here saw all three of those films. And on the third one, after the Shelob scene, when the two orcs are chimping out over the ring, you remember that they kill each other over it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
They may as well be a pair of Nikes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I saw really.
The other day, I'm like, have we found a leftist website that's talked about how orcs are essentially just an analogy?
Oh, there are tons of websites being like, oh, it's so racist because even the humans who are evil are like kind of dark skinned and from the south and the east.
Yeah,
Turks and North Africans.
Can I own up to how naive and silly I am? Like that never crossed my mind until they suggested it.
No, it didn't cross my mind until they suggested it either.
Isn't that crazy, though?
It never occurred to me.
It's like, I've never looked at it that way. It's just like when...
Because we're normal people who enjoy a good piece of fucking historical, like, fantasy fiction.
Yeah.
We're going to read it and enjoy it on its own merits. We're not going to go fucking psychoanalyze it for fucking political purposes like a fucking insane, neurotic fucking piece of worthless faggot shit. You know?
Dude, I've always thought it works for niggers. I mean, come on.
Oh, well, it's pretty obvious, but I mean, I never really read any political thing into it.
You weren't looking for
it. Yeah, that's like that one fat, everyone's called her like Hamburglar Helper or something, like, her name
Hamburger
is like...
Hamburger Helper? Oh, my brother made that image, the image of her with like cancer, all that shit. My brother is the one who made that. Yeah, and him and his friend were the ones who caused that controversy.
But her
brother, when he had Facebook, he had on his job involuntary philanthropist because the fucking company she worked for donated $1,000 to some cyberbullying charity on her behalf because of what he did.
Well, for people who like aren't familiar, basically, like her and her team are responsible for taking like upcoming gaming titles that a lot of people were really
looking that gay so far,
and then like replaced like half of the gameplay with just like story, like romance, basically, and it ended up sucking. A lot of it was bisexual and homosexual, and just like
strange. And I'm pretty sure she said in an interview she doesn't like to play games. She just likes to watch the cutscenes and like wishes she could.
And she was saying that's the kind of crowd she was trying to appeal to. And
isn't it like she oppression? Goes on to
she was saying that like she was explaining why all the relationships that like are there are like all not like within these games are all non-traditional. And she's like, well, people are tired of the kind of literature and writing provided by old white men. They're looking for something new.
Except they're really not. And didn't this woman also say like that when white males play the games and like skip through those scenes, that's like a form of oppression?
Yeah.
Like you refuse. You just want to play, and you refuse to sit there for all this bullshit.
Yeah, and she said she wants to do the opposite. We should have the option to just watch the cutscenes and skip through all the gameplay.
Isn't that called watching TV?
You're writing a fucking video game right now, and you're saying people should play the video game. Like, Jesus Christ.
Like, they should remove the option to skip through those scenes.
And then when people started, like, tweeting her and sending her hate tweets and shit, she responded with, like, you're just jealous that you don't have a vagina. You're just jealous that you're not writing for video games. I get to write for a video game company, and I have a vagina. It's like, oh, God. And she's like some fat blob of a creature.
Well, we're definitely digressing. We could go on to this whole thing of tech companies hiring women for political reasons, but that's another whole podcast.
Yeah, I wanted to go back to the libertarian, you know,
double standard on chip.
Well, what?
Because my Facebook feed is being cracked up lately by libertarians bitching about the shooting and all that.
I don't have any libertarian friends.
It's the same fucking bullshit where it's like, well, he didn't do nothing and he was shot by these oppressive police officers.
The fact that he was robbing a store had nothing to do. They didn't know that. Therefore, it's like, it doesn't matter that he robbed a store.
I want to know what these libertarians...
violated property rights.
I want to know what these libertarians would do without the police state. If we didn't have this police state, if we
they all imagine that they would be like super like Conan the Barbarian or like Snake Plissken roaming around with like a crossbow, Gerald Dixon fucking hunting
well,
deer and
it's one of the killing statists
and but no
one of the things that got me off
murdered in the fucking gutter and their corpses would be raped.
One of the things that got me off hardcore and Capistan libertarianism was like the Dorner thing, you know, the realization that there are unhinged people around that aren't going to be. They're not logical. They don't think like we do. They do stupid things, not realizing the consequences. And you have to have the police state there to stop it, because sometimes that's all there is between you and that. I mean, and it's like, stop saying fuck the police. You're white. You're not a criminal. You might be a pothead libertarian who thinks speeding tickets are the height of government tyranny, but you need to shut the fuck up. I hate when cops harass white people too and shake them down for little fines and stuff. But yeah. Fuck you
they
if you think that cops should.
There are racial differences, right?
So yeah, you
they,
have
they
to use violence.
They don't go say, oh, they assume that they're oppressing the natives for the same reason that they shake down people for parking tickets. When
right.
You know that
right.
There are sometimes reasons for the cops to
it's
act like
yeah, I think
for,
it. It's like, I think it sucks that, you know, speeding tickets and stop sign tickets are just another tax on, but, you know, they still have to be there to use the violent force with the feral population. They're out there. I mean.
It's like we could get rid of all these onerous, like, kind of like, revenue-seeking measures and shit. We
sure.
could work on disposing of those without doing away with the police force.
Like
but everything is all or nothing with libertarians
well, yeah.
because
right.
it's like
yes.
you can't just
yes.
you can't if you ban marijuana or if you ban cocaine, well then you have to ban marijuana and then you
yeah.
have to ban it's like you can't. There's no shelling points. For
I guarantee
you have to do something or you cannot do anything of the kind.
I guarantee you
logic
all these libertarians, their only interactions with cops have ever been like being pulled over for something. There was a guy on Lou Rockwell's.
They're probably like unduly combative too. The cops probably polite to them, and they're probably like, "Oh, fuck you, officer," or some bullshit.
There was
like
a guy.
Yeah, they probably started telling him about rights and shit like
yeah.
that. Anytime someone starts running their mouth about rights to a cop, I'm just like,
especially
dude.
The cops just pulling him over because the guy's going like 30 over the speed limit.
It's like okay, I would have let finish this point, but I wanted to
yeah. Let me just
like
no,
how
just,
fucking hilarious it is when like. When you're looking at like libertarian YouTube channels, they're like a video with like, you know, a million views. It's like, watch this man teach this cop a lesson, and then you watch it, and it's like, this cop is just like, you know, why I pulled you over? Am I being detained?
Oh,
you're speeding. I.
Am I free to go? Am I free to go?
Oh god. But yeah, I was just saying like. I think there was a guy on the Lou Rockwell blog or the website. I swear to God, his entire job was to go out and get like stop sign tickets so he could document his fucking experiences in the local court system. Like every week there was like another like article from this guy about how long he sat in court that morning and how he watched, you know, poor downtrodden black people, you know, make arrangements with the judge to pay their fines for their public drunkenness and other non-violent offenses. But it's like, yeah, we should shut that down.
Shut it down!
We should shut that down because, you know, we want our poor people drunk in the streets and hanging out and not getting picked
yeah,
up.
But no, see, in Ancapistan, the blacks would still be, like, you know, corralled in and forced to pay a fine, but it would be private, you know, court agencies, so it's okay.
It would probably actually be much more vicious towards them, which I would actually say would be...
I would be down with that.
Okay, you know? I mean, the thing, yeah, it's because of the refusal. I mean, some of them see the race issue, but if they don't, then they'll become fully retarded because, as you said, they'll project their own grievances with police
yeah.
onto these blacks, and they'll assume, like, and yeah, and, you know, Ancapistan, to a certain extent, like, as you guys all know, I'm still libertarian in many of my social views.
Sure.
Like, I think a white society can be very laissez-faire, very much
yeah.
freedoms and all of that stuff, because white people are
high
civil
society,
and
right?
we have high trust, and we can behave civilly, we have commons, we can
time
have
preferences
freedoms,
and the same,
all
common,
of that
all
shit,
that.
And, you know, we have nice society, but then like, we are intermingled. First, I mean, for a while it was just blacks. Now, apparently, we're going to inflict a number of different vibrant populations on ourselves.
Numbers.
Gotta keep things
but,
interesting,
you know? But, yeah, it's like, you don't understand. Like, yes, we could totally have freedom. We could. But they can't. And, you know, the police do actually, when you complain about, oh, well, you know, the state is keeping these blacks up in these ghettos, it's like, yes, and you should be thankful that they are. I mean, because
you don't want them coming down.
Like, you actually live, like, you're up in...
Hold
like, where do you live, Mr. Libertarian? What, when you're up in New Hampshire, where you like you're protesting smoking weed in a public park? Like that's some kind of
you won't take really your hat off. Yeah, like, you won't take your hat off in court and get thrown in jail, and it's a big
right,
fucking victory.
Right, right. You won't stand up in court, and then and this is all oppression and all that shit. But it's like, yeah, I mean, the police are actually keeping blacks in neighborhoods and away from like you're not living in an oppressive police state. At all. I mean, you're basically
like,
talking police with dumb shit, and, yeah. Anyway.
There was a thing you said, you were talking about the other day, where when you take the one-size-fits-all training for the cops, it's like, all right,
yes,
they have their training to deal with the feral blacks, and they apply it to everyone else, too.
The problem with, I mean, that's not really libertarians' fault, that's more the progressive anti-racist narrative as applied. Like, because we can't have racial profiling, we can't have...
Well, a libertarian would agree with that too, you can't have racial profiling.
Yeah, libertarians, some of them would agree with this, that like, you know, a police officer's not allowed to racially profile, so the protocol, again, lowest common denominator, it has to deal with the lowest common denominator. So if you're stopped by a cop, and you get combative, his training to deal with a combative individual is to apply force until the individual submits. He wouldn't have to do that if it was a white society where white people who act reasonably with each other.
Right.
If you're pulled over with a cop, you can be reasonable with him, take your ticket, pay your fucking yes. We know it's rent seeking. We know it's revenueing. But whatever.
We hate it, but it's not worth giving up what you're going to give up trying to resist it. You know?
It's not worth getting a billy club up the ass for.
That's
so
why
like,
they can get away with it. Which,
a bunch of white people in a community.
Yeah, well, I mean,
they don't get too banged up over not being able to drive 100 kilometers an hour, miles an hour through a fucking residential neighborhood.
Hang on. Let Alex get in there.
An old guy was pulled over, and he pulls out his cane or whatever, and he's shot. And that's because of that sort of protocol where if it looks like a threat, you fucking deal with it. It's that one-size-fits-all approach.
Right. Like, One time I was pulled over many years ago before I was aware of any of this stuff. And, you know, I got out of the car. A cop thought I was drinking. I probably was, but I didn't get in trouble for it. Anyway, so he pulls me out of the car. And, you know, I'm standing there talking to him. And my phone rings. So I go into my pocket for my phone. He starts going for his gun. Right? Because it's like, obviously, I'm just going for my phone. But he's trained that anybody goes in their pocket during a stop, you go for your gun because you don't know they might be going for a gun, right? Obviously, we're in the suburbs. I'm white. You know, like, the question was, did I have a few too many drinks that night? I don't have a gun. I'm not going to pull a gun out on this cop. Like, I'm not retarded. I'm not going to pull a gun on a cop.
Well,
right?
he was violating the IP by pulling you over.
But he was following his training, right?
Right.
And that's because, so this one side, because we can't racially profile, because everybody has to be an equal threat. But when you actually look at the numbers, like, not racially profiling is ridiculous. And it's actually,
absolutely.
You know, a complete
absolutely
complete abandonment of their duty.
Profiles don't just pop up out of nowhere.
Another thing I wanted to, I've been trying to interject, we want to point out the rent-seeking nature of, like, tickets and fines and all that, but at the same time, you could also see that as them trying to equalize, you know, policing. They're trying to say, okay, well, you know, I know that most of the violent crimes we respond to are majority, you know, darker folk, but look, we have all of this that we're doing for the white, you know, the white white demographic. Right. So, you know, we are trying to equalize our policing. You know, it's a feeble attempt. I don't even think it's not necessarily rent seeking. I'm sure there's some small towns that do it. But at the same time, it's kind of to make them, it's saving face for the whole liberal narrative.
It's sort of like that. Well, now that we have fucking Holder in the Justice Department, this shit has just gone full retard. And it's like that thing with the schools where, like, the Justice Department starts looking into the schools because, like, oh, why is it that, like, the majority, like, black students are only, well, you know, 15% or whatever they are, and the majority of suspensions and discipline is black students, right? And so So now the Justice Department, the federal government Justice Department, is investigating school districts. So what are they going to do? What are they going to do? They're going to have to go after more white students for really petty shit. And they're
going
to have to let the Knicks get away with more shit. Yeah. They're going to have to do that in order to juke the numbers so that Eric Holder fucking doesn't come after them. And it's the same thing with the police. Like, the police have to do that same thing. Like, they have to get more petty offenses to white people. Because they can't change the behavior. You can't make blacks stop being violent. You can't make whites start.
There's some numbers I have here on, actually on Ferguson, Missouri, about on traffic stops. You know, that Ferguson is something like, it's something like 2-to-1 black over white.
Exactly.
I saw them do that. They said that it was racial profiling in Ferguson.
Yeah, because we have 5,384 traffic stops, 4,632 of them were black, 686 were white, 66 other, and that's so disproportionate. It's like, I mean, that doesn't tell me that they're profiling them, but it tells me that the blacks fit the profile.
It tells us that it's disproportionate. That's all it tells us, and we can infer either that it's that it's racism, or that Negroes
It's like disproportionate to what exactly?
So many convictions.
It's not disproportionate to the behavior of the people being pulled over. It's exactly proportionate to the behavior.
Most likely, but what we're supposed to take away from that it's it's racism.
Well, they assume everything is racism from the get-go, right? That's their starting premise.
Well, if you're gonna keep religiously going by this narrative that every human. Like, all beings classified as human all have the same mental and physical capabilities. You really have to come up with some serious fucking evidence to prove this. Otherwise, get the fuck out of here already. Holy
human.
I mean, this idea
the existence of the disproportionate impact proves that it's racist. The existence of a racial gap proves racism every time.
Yeah.
That's
The assumption of a statistical distribution of, all... everything. Like, everything is going to be, statistically distributed according to the demographics of the population. Like if you have 70% blacks, 70% of traffic stops will be blacks. 70% of software programmers will be blacks. You know what I mean? Like,
50% will be women, right?
How could you even think that would be a reasonable starting point?
Well, there's a lot of the time you'll get them to admit that it's not a reasonable starting point, but it's a moral issue. So, just because it's unreasonable doesn't mean we shouldn't try and make it happen anyway, because we have a moral duty to make sure equality is achieved.
Yeah,
so
we have to
even
fuck
though it's retarded,
because it fucking feels good.
Because we enslaved their ancestors, so let's burn down the entire world.
Assuming that there's a thing like white privilege and all that, and that we disproportionately...
is white privilege. What they're wrong about is that it's a bad thing that we should not want to, keep asserting. They're wrong. They're wrong that white privilege is not completely justified.
Yeah, I've seen you argue this in a lot of places, Alex. It's like, okay, say it exists. Okay, why would I want to give it up?
What we want to do is reassert our white
privilege. Right. Just let him.
Why would I want to challenge that? Am I going to go to hell for it? I mean, what the fuck's going to happen? I don't believe in God. Or the devil or that shit, so why would I possibly complain about experiencing privilege? I'm going to enjoy it and try to perpetuate it.
Yeah, it's
and then they go, well, but that's bad. That's mean. That's very mean of you to think that.
Yeah, I think I threw that up on the... Do we still have a Tumblr? Is there a TRS Tumblr still?
I mean, life is...
Yeah, we've kind of abandoned
your privilege. Oh, it's abandoned. Well, I think one of the things I wrote on the Tumblr was, you can't end white privilege or white supremacy, whatever you want to call it, without our... contribution to ending it. Like, we have to feel guilty, and
you have to
surrender all your power.
Yeah,
see, because life does just get better after you give up your privilege.
It worked
really well for South Africa.
Listen to this: all progress in the past century or so, two centuries, whatever, basically consisted of a bunch of privileged white men agreeing to make concessions to other groups.
Of course.
Bunch of privileged white men gave women the vote, gave Negroes freedom, whatever, blah, blah, blah. So that's what it's always going to be.
Yeah, and it's really funny, of course, because it's like, so everybody's equal, and some people are, it's like, they always talk about empowerment. Like, that's a really hot buzzword with the left, right? Like, empowerment, women's empowerment, people of color empowerment. And then they expect people that have it to give it up. It's, it's like, well, wait, if empowerment's so great, why would the empowered surrender it? You know, and they also, of course, it's about power, right? Like, it is about power.
You know what this means? This means, you know, we need to demand Tumblr equality. If our Tumblr is abandoned, it's because of all those Tumbleristas and their Tumblr privilege won't share their follows and their reblogs with us. We need...
On Tumblr, you know, what's the percentage of right-wing voices versus left? I mean, that's a fucking injustice right there,
they should be forced to read our shit every fucking day.
Yeah, the fairness doctrine.
That's right.
Fifty percent of all their posts should be, like, quotes from Hitler and stuff.
Right, well, because the color they have of time to reasonably present the other side.
Now, I have something that always comes to my mind whenever I hear the empowerment, you know, shit garbled, is empowerment kind of infers agency, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
So, how these, you know, one group of people seem to have this empowerment, and a whole bunch of other groups don't. Now, how can you create empowerment by just giving it to people that can't create it to begin with?
Usually when I see somebody who's claiming to be empowered, it's just they're engaging in whatever degenerate behavior that they normally would, but they're claiming that they know
empowerment
that,
is being able to do what you want without being judged.
Right. That I was about to say that. Yeah, they're engaging in the degenerate behavior and like demanding that you not criticize them for
they're,
it.
They're claiming that they're in control of it.
You have to approve of it.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, I mean,
if you don't approve of it, you can't open your mouth. You have to shut up.
It's like basically they're saying, I know that what I'm doing is stupid and wrong, but I'm doing it anyway, therefore empowerment.
Yeah, they're going off the assumption that it's like, I'm empowered and you have to like go along with it, even though empowerment isn't a cooperative effort. Like the whole thing just kind of falls apart when you even.
It's a very female way of looking at
things. Is power like? Is it a finite? And it's like we're hoarding the power, and we have to redistribute the power so that everyone can be equally empowered.
Might as well these same fucking people look at like economics the same way.
Our presence disempowers them, and we need to refrain from disempowering these people so they can empower themselves.
Right.
I have a solution. Let's just put all of us in one country, and then they'll be okay.
Yeah, right.
Our loss. That's the, you know, that's the Ramsey Paul troll. I mean, we've trolled with that too, that it's like, well, looks like, you know, just being around white people is so disempowering that the best thing to do be to separate. You know,
they want us to do all the labor.
They want the product of all of our labor
to go to them, right? They want the product of white labor to go to them. They don't want whites to complain or anything about it. They can't have whites up and go off and do their own thing because then they're left high and dry because it's, you know, the whites, the white men off doing things, you know, building things, creating things. That's where all the fucking value and wealth is, right?
There's
nobody to see credit for.
Asians are doing it too.
Asians are honorary Aryans, so, you know, when I say white, of course, Asians are included in that.
Right. But Asians in their own countries don't actually allow themselves to be looted by minorities, but that's a whole thing, too.
I actually saw some idiot say the other day, like, you know, when the white minority finally happens in America, it's like, what's it gonna be like for us on the other end of separate but equal? And I'm just kind of like, you know,
who's still
going to be in power?
I'll take separate pretty. Let's do it. Let's do it right now. Let's go.
Yeah.
But they actually think that, like, so he was kind of acknowledging that, like, okay, you're going on with multiculturalism right now, Mr. Liberal. You kind of just admitted what I kind of say is, like, basically going along with it is asking to be ovened last. You just kind of acknowledge which is my argument that you shouldn't be going along with it because you're just asking
the
other
argument way. From some, like, there was some Swedish or Danish or some Scandinavian liberal politician or some, or fucking pundit or something a few years ago quoted something about how we have to be nice to the Muslims now so that they're nice to us when they're in the majority.
Because that's how we have to go live
in Syria.
That's how clashes of civilization work. The violent minority remembers how nice you were.
Paul Mooney, that fucking black comedian that used to go on Dave Chappelle.
Yeah.
He said something about like white people are all shitting their pants about when the blacks take over because they think we're going to treat them the way that they treated us. And I mean, yeah, we are. We're going to treat them like shit, so they better get right. I don't remember the exact quote, but he's basically admitting it.
Blacks are
there's others who have...
As if they could ever actually manage thing. The system. That's
well, yeah, they'd never be able to organize the kind of, like, pogroms or whatever. Oh, I mean, they could do, like, the flash mob, chimpo kind of things, but they could never do some kind of, like...
The entire country would just be Detroit. I mean, I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, actually, absent of the kind of, like, cathedral... From the pressure from the cathedral that prevents whites from being able to, like, respond... in our own self-defense in reaction to those situations, if that was actually widespread across America, there would be no black oppressing of white people. White people would band together and assert ourselves just fine.
For a second. No one at TRS is legitimately concerned about blacks taking over.
Yeah.
Or that's just not even...
It's like maybe millions of years there could be a Planet of the Apes. Millions of years, but that's beyond our horizons.
The issue with the demographic... Well, go ahead, Alex, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, none of us actually think there's a legitimate threat of that. We don't, you know, shit ourselves when we see blacks looting and rioting. We just go, well, look at those dumb fucking chimpanzees, you know, doing dumb chimpanzee
shit.
It's
kind of just a sign of the decline that we're allowing this kind of shit to happen, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of what...
We have the power to stop this. We can stand this out in a second, and we're just letting it drag on, and then this will simmer down, and it'll flare up next year when another fucking little coon gets shot for fucking beating someone up or robbing someone, and it'll be even worse then. It's just like, it's like scratching an open sore is what it is.
We're not worried about white genocide or bullshit like that or being outbred by blacks. That's not something that we're concerned about. You don't take that shit seriously.
Do we have confirmation? Speaking of that, we have the power. I was reading Vox Day's blog. He claims that last night when they rekindled the vibrant demonstrations of looting and robbing, that the officers were told to stand down, to not defend people's property, to just let it, I don't know, I guess let them run out of energy at some point. I don't know what, but...
They'll tucker themselves out.
I mean, they're just... but they're literally, the guy that took over, you know, they got the highway patrol captain because he happens to be black. I guess that's why you put a highway patrol in charge of city streets, but whatever. His order was to stand back and stand down. I mean, that's what he claims.
The only black cop they can find without, like, corrupt allegations against...
Yeah. And who was, like, you know, articulate, look good on camera, all that shit.
Yeah.
But he's telling his men, stand down, don't stop.
I saw a picture of him marching with the protesters.
Do your I saw that too. What's funny is that
real or not, but
I remember, like, and both liberals and libertarians jumped on this. I mean, we notice libertarian contributions to the political discourse probably way more than the mainstream because of where we dwell. But, so I saw libertarians praising this as well as, obviously liberals love a black guy in charge or whatever, but like libertarians are like, oh, well, this is good because he's actually, because in their narrative, like police, like in their narrative, like not enforcing shit, like lets things just sort of work themselves out.
It's like protest, civil disobedience.
Take down all the traffic lights and the...
Take down all the traffic lights, spontaneous order. Right, blacks, spontaneous orders. One of the most hysterical ideas ever. But so to them, it's like, oh, yeah, so the police, like, step back a little bit and things work out. And it's like then, okay, so the police step back and there you go, there's another one. Like, starts right up again.
I was really triggered by that.
I thought it was kind of funny.
It was really triggered by that. I think it was you who informed me that they actually, like, started the rioting off again last night by targeting the shop that gave up that security footage.
Right.
Yeah. It was so like, and then to hear that they're standing down, it's like that's what that's where we are right now.
Right. Right.
Like, so, like it's not even guilty until proven innocent, or this guy's innocent. This
straight
guy's
up, let the animals just take it.
Just let them take it. There will be no enforcement of anything.
Yeah, it's also their fault for releasing
the guy.
That's almost like Swedenism, man. Remember Sweden when they were ticketing the burnt out cars? And then not in court on actually arresting the rioters. It's like, have we really, as America, come that far that quickly? We can't be Sweden, can we?
And I even remember earlier in the day yesterday, like in the afternoon, because the police video came out, or the surveillance video came out, the attorney for that store, like, actually went on TV and was like, the store supports the community. We had to release this by law. We had to do it. We had to do it. Basically, like, begging them not to do it.
We didn't need to snitch.
So hold up. So the chimps actually chimped out at the convenience store for daring
for daring to release footage incriminating the person in the show.
That's actually
they were required by fucking law to do.
That's some frightening organization. They actually had the foresight to
that actually shows hunt down the store.
They're learning. Oh no.
They have become aware.
It's like Caesar.
Yeah.
No. Caesar can like he's like reasoning.
Or it's like at the beginning of 2001 when the apes figure out how to use the bone.
It's the monolith. It's like the glass monolith landed in front of the fucking convenience store and they all flocked towards it. This is where we need to go.
I'm kind of thinking more like the opening to History of the World Part 1.
Well, hang on, I think, what's that, Alex? Alex has got a bad connection, so every time he talks, I just hear like in the background when someone talks over him. Go for it, bud.
I was going to say, I mean, the monolith landed and there was fried chicken and hair extension.
Fuck.
I mean, if you looked at what is being stolen here, I mean, they're demonstrating by taking literally, I'm not even making this up, fried chicken, hair extensions, and malt liquor.
Not a single pair of work boots was stolen in Missouri the other this last week.
Not a book.
I don't think they probably sell any work boots or books. Now, like, really, do you think that there's, like, any bookstores in the fucking neighborhood?
No.
No, remember in the London riots a few years ago, when they're that huge chimp out in London, and they tried to portray it as, like, because in one city in, like, northern England, there's, like, some white mobsters were participating, stealing things, and so they used that footage to portray the entire riot as, like, it's like, oh, white people are, like, the main culprit. Yeah. But then when they released the names of the arrested suspects, like, 80% of them were South Asian or West Caribbean or something. But I remember there was these great shots of a block of storefronts, and they're all smashed up, and there's one bookstore completely untouched, and like the clothing store on the outside caved in, all the shit's pulled out on the street, and then the bookstore is just completely untouched, not a broken window.
You gotta find that image.
You know what that means, though? That just means that photographer is racist.
Yeah.
And he has to lose his
job. Well, no, see, it just means that, you know, it's a sign of the progress, right? Books are their old hat, right? They're stealing Kindles, so
they left the books alone because they're valuable.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought
the only reasons they were robbing the iStore was for the iPads and the Kindles to go to school. You know, they needed it for college.
It's actually a sign that they've moved beyond books to NiggerTech. Like, all reading is done on NiggerTech now. So.
Well, if I ever have to try to find a job anywhere in a really, really awful black neighborhood or something, I'm just going to every bookstore and applying, because I know that it'll just be the easiest job imaginable and I will be perfectly safe.
No, there would be no jobs available in that. Bookseller in a black neighborhood?
No.
Yeah. Any books, they're going to be like an underfunded public library that's just like covered in graffiti. They used to like the aisles to smoke crack and have sex and stuff.
Didn't somebody in our circle write a response to black kid being shot by white cop, rob and destroy Pakistani owned gas station, agreeing with liberals for the wrong reasons? I like that one a lot. I don't know why that just popped into my mind when brought up a bookstore in a black neighborhood, I guess.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that the original convenience store that was robbed in Ferguson was like an Indian guy. Yeah, I mean, it looked like an Indian. I mean, that's who owns these stores.
Usually.
I mean.
Yeah.
He didn't look black, but he didn't look white either. He looked like some like diminutive little Arab or Indian man or Asian or something.
Yeah.
My favorite thing was our favorite leftist pal was saying that, while, you know, stealing fried chicken and malt liquor is not a very sophisticated form of political commentary.
Sorry, go ahead.
It's still a form of political protest. It's just not very sophisticated.
Yeah.
Everything is of politics, raising right? consciousness is what he was saying. Like, because it's not just stealing, it's a definitely, like, it's the stirrings of class consciousness. I also love it when leftists call them like working class. Like, you ever read like Marxist literature that like refers to them as working class? That's always pretty funny.
It's always good.
Yeah, implying work.
Well, the thing is, I think that there is a kind of like underlying not political, like, attitude. There's an underlying, like, attitude of racial animosity that permeates all this shit, where, like, even though they're not attacking white businesses, it's still in the back of their mind, we're getting back at Whitey, we're getting back at the man. I think the same kind of thing is going through their heads when they're, groups of them are doing the flash mobs where they polar bear hunting and knocking over convenience stores and all that shit. I think it all, but I don't think it's a fully conscious thing, or like any kind of articulated fucking, I don't think they're going out and like, yeah, we're going to go revolution, and they're not all fucking like listening to Dead Prez and shit. They're just, it's kind of like an animal and an instinctive thing. There's the obvious racial element, and that's, it's not just that they're champing out because they're nigs, and that's part of it. I mean, they're going to behave like this, but I think it increases in frequency and intensity based on like the kind of widespread cultural endorsement that they've kind of like gotten across the media and the government ever since Obama got elected. Like this shit has amped up since he came into office. It was about 2008, 2009 that all this shit started. Yeah,
and the approval from like white liberals in the media and in academia and intellectual circles also has gone off the charts too. And it's really funny. I mean, well, we all saw the video that it's on the site. It's on the article I posted on the site where that black guy sort of tries to struggle through some kind of intellectual, quasi-intellectual justification for it. And then of course, like the narrative that, like, and you know, and of course our communist friend started to like immediately like fap to that and try to project like some coherency onto that. I mean, he was like talking about like police ticketing people and secret societies and like deliberately starving people and then gentrifying the neighborhood, like, all as like, you know, one thing. Like he couldn't, articulate
he was saying
narrative.
Yeah, he was saying like the police ticketing people. I'm sorry, go ahead.
If white people voluntarily move away from a neighborhood, that's gentrification. But if blacks were to move away from their white oppressors, I mean, what kind of commentary could you apply to that?
That would require, like, doing stuff.
I don't see it happening. I mean, where would they go? Like, what would... Like, you can't even call it something because
the blacks
phenomena...
moved away from whites and then we came and found them 10 years down the road, they would literally be living, like, fucking, like, pre-contact African conditions. Like, if there was literally no external, like, no input from the outside from non-blacks, they would just degenerate into a bunch of... They would basically be flinging their poo when we came back and found them.
I mean, like, there's a basic TRS talking point here that it's considered oppressive for whites to leave black areas.
Don't go. But then it's considered oppressive for them to come back.
To move in. If we move in, we're gentrifying and driving blacks out.
It's white flight, and then it's gentrifying.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's sort of like that article that I put out not that long ago. It was like a bunch of white people aren't in this Hispanic neighborhood anymore, and like it's dirty as shit, and they're like complaining that like
about the park.
Well, the city would clean up the place if there were white people here. If white people come back, then rent's going to shoot way up because properties are going
to
be worth.
If white people come back, the city won't need to clean it up because the white people take care of their own shit.
They can find a trash can.
They will foot trash everywhere. I mean, how does this work if we
Mexicans,
leave?
I saw someone say recently Mexicans only pick shit up when they're paid for it.
at least that happens, though.
If we move in, we're bad guys. How does this work? What are we supposed to do exactly?
You know,
that narrative has been going through like the stuff on the schools for a long time, where you know they hate to actually admit that you know, the more blacks in a school, obviously the worse the performance, and the worse the performance of blacks. So if you actually have a school that's like 90% white, 10% black, or like 95% and 5% or whatever, like the blacks do better. Like they actually do.
The whites do
you
worse.
Know, if you have a small black minority in a majority, like a big majority white school, like the black kids actually do better. Now that might be selection, other kinds of selection factors and things like that. Like you're already getting the top tier of blacks in that environment, etc. There is that cultural influence. Like we don't, I mean, I'm not a total genetic determinist on this. Like, environmental factors do influence. But yeah, but then the idea is, like, black students, when around white students, are confronted with stereotype threat, so they do more poorly.
Right.
But then, like, you know, desegregation is bad. Like, segregation, like, when white people, white flight is bad because then white people take the resources out of the schools, and then blacks do bad. Like, so, yeah, I mean... Do get this narrative that, like, whites turning their backs on blacks is, like, the most...
At what point will blacks ever have the resources? Why do white resources need to go into the school? Like, why not have Oprah come
down?
Why does the money have to come from white people?
Like Ghoul said, it requires doing this stuff.
Like, get all the white people out, or...
Man, you don't understand this shit, dude. Like, because of slavery, white people accumulated all of this capital for, like, thousands of years.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah. Shit.
Yeah, this systemic oppression.
I'm going to thank a black person tomorrow.
All of these resources. America was built on top of slavery. I mean, this is actually fucking gospel truth here. It was not slavery.
Why didn't we castrate them? What the fuck? I'm sorry.
All those black slaves who were tragically lost building the Empire State Building. Tragically lost under the lash of Andrew Jackson.
But you know, going back to what Mike you were talking about, when you have the 5%. I'm sorry, Alex, what was that?
They promote this narrative, but exactly what was the percentage of black slaves in the United States? I mean, over the course of our history, it's been a very small percentage.
Until like 100 years ago, I think like 100 years ago, the number of blacks in America was like 20 or 30,000 or something. Like, it was a ridiculously, surprisingly small number.
Yeah, it was very small, and most of what they did was farm for cash crops. They didn't like build infrastructure or anything. I mean, some, like, there are certain, like, white families or white...
But even then, like, everything they did was they built up the South, and then the fucking Union came in and burned that all down anyway. Everything the black slaves built up was destroyed and is not here nor there for as far as today.
Right, and the South wasn't very built up. I mean, even today,
they built up the agriculture, but that's it. There's no industry there because you can't have a bunch of bigger slaves fucking working in factories.
Because of slavery, there wouldn't be factories built there for various economic reasons. But the South was never that built up, and it's still not. Although now it is, because of course they don't allow unions. But whatever, let's get back on track.
I was gonna jump back to when you mentioned, Mike, when you have schools that are 90-10. That 10% of blacks tends to be the cream of the crop, you know. And I think that...
Talented tenth.
Yeah, and that's who I feel pretty bad for in this situation, because the talented tenth, you know, they have reached, you know, what economically, professionally, to get out of those kind of neighborhoods and these kind of areas where these things happen, and they live among us. But for some reason, I argue with them online, some they're very... You know, intelligent black people who still identify with these scumbags. They feel the loyalty to these. Like, I don't feel loyalty to cracker meth cooking. You know, whatever stereotype they're
like,
throwing there,
like Polish scum fucking.
Yeah,
robbing German people.
At the same time, you have other white people you can look to, right? You don't feel loyalty to those dirty cracker ass
white people, but
you can look to white people who have achieved great things and who are noble of character.
Right.
And a whole fucking thousands of years of history, whereas blacks don't really have that.
Well, they have some. They have some.
Yeah, I know, but.
I mean, but why would you?
They're really not very many at all.
But I mean,
and
why?
You guys like Frederick Douglass and Booker T. Washington. I mean, they're pretty politically incorrect.
But they could take on the identity that we're Americans.
Blacks do that.
I mean, that's what they should fucking do. Like, why do you have to identify with the rioters when you can identify with me, white presenting nationalism? I'll take you in. You can be, you know. I don't know about your kids.
There's the whole narrative that's pushed from on high and has been for a while that, like, that's all bad. And blacks, every racial group has to identify as, like, oppressed and all that shit, right? There's a lot more mileage in them going with the oppressed nigger class.
The ones that make it out, you know, the ones that I hope don't overhear me talking from my fucking studio here, but down the block, you know, they live here with me. They're cool. They're not dangerous.
Race is race. You're gonna side with your people, I guess, you know.
That just doesn't wash with, but we're all colorblind and it's post-racial America now.
Well,
Obama's president.
Oh, yeah,
it's just
fucking
not.
But
I feel bad. I feel bad for these people. I feel bad. This is another thing holding them back. That
all these minority groups, they want to have their cake and eat it too, right? They want to be like, okay, well, we get to identify with our own and like be hardcore like identitarians.
But your own
sucks. Fight for group interest. But every other group has to respect that it's a post-racial America. It's a post-racial America, but we should get first grabs at the spoils.
Yeah. It's also arguably very bad for the top 10% of blacks to to identify with that, because, I mean, they would do better just by, like, but I think it's a lot to ask.
It is a lot. For, right?
You know, it's probably very difficult for them, and...
Well,
you know,
there's the pressure on their kids, the pressure on the pop culture.
They're siding with us, too, no matter what. They'll always feel like, they'll always get the feeling that we're, that yeah. they're tokens, to their, and that's inescapable. We'll always kind of look down on them, right? And even with the white liberals, they'll get the feeling that, oh, they're just using
they'll
us
get
as
it even
status
more with the white liberals.
Right?
This might be conservatives
that actually give them respect, like white liberals.
Yeah, but even then, right, they're still the odd one out. They can choose to be, like, you know, the black who's accepted as, like, one of the exceptions by the, like, the white people, or he can choose to be, like, the superior of his own people, right, and shepherding his own, which is, like, a noble cause and shit, but I mean, if they want to do that, they're doing it wrong, because they're buying onto the fucking hate whitey victim narrative, which is not going to get them anywhere, because it's based on a bunch of bullshit.
Well, this is one of the things that we talked about. It's sort of like, we talk about, this is sort of a conundrum. We talk about peak Negro, right? Now, obviously, peak Negro is a very real phenomenon. Like, we see Detroit, we see that once you get a critical mass of blacks, like, it starts to go down, and then there's a feedback loop, and it just spirals. And Detroit now is basically, you know, it's like becoming a little Africa in America.
Mogadishu.
But then when we look at pre-segregation, we see that across the board, black communities were doing much better. And the question is why? And the answer I think, like, eliminates this conundrum in my mind is that segregation and civil rights actually gave this talented tenth of blacks the opportunity to leave the black community, integrate with white society, become white presenting, also have all this left-wing political bullshit,
and be seen as traitors.
But they're not really identifying with their people. They're not really in the ghettos. They're not really so black the underclass blacks, which is like 90% of them, were basically abandoned by the people who rightfully should be
Melissa Harris Perry and shit. Who spend their time bitching at white people rather than actually helping
people.
Black.
They all these white presenting acceptable blacks, intellectual blacks, they come into white society. They go into universities. They become professional, and they're not actually leading that community. I mean, they talk about it.
Coats or whatever
not,
the fuck his name is.
It's not really happening.
Taking their gay African names.
Yeah, yeah, like all that bullshit. And that's man, those people are fucking the ultimate house niggers. I mean, they are like house nigger beyond. Like,
because they think that they're not house niggers. They think
right, because they think that they're not, and they're totally sucking up to this progressive narrative. Yes, yes.
I mean, honestly, though, I think if you look at the 1960s before that, they essentially had accumulated all these white values of, you know, religiosity and, you know.
They were actually starting to get somewhere. They were just starting to get somewhere, and then these fucking communists came and fucking ruined everything.
That's basically in a nutshell. I mean, you had the welfare programs and all that. That's what Thomas Sowell would actually say.
Yeah, the vision of the anointed. Thomas Sowell writes about it right in there.
Yeah. Yep. Plus, if you look at their patterns before that, they actually had a very high rate of marriage fidelity, and they essentially
were used to all that shit, yeah.
They were trying to be white people before then.
Yeah, and I think that the hyper-religiosity of some of these black preachers that, like that's actually a necessary form of leadership for that community. Like, in the white community, we would look at, like, sort of like a, that kind of hyper-religious preaching, sort of like that sort of low class, that's kind of like what crackers do, or like Southerners, or, you know, like these
very
crazy
high class.
snake handling, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that
Pastor
sort of,
Manning
that sort
and
of
shit,
preaching
Louis
down the dance. Yeah, but that's what that's sort of like how a black leader keeps his people in line.
All them black Muslims and their bow ties and their
right,
suits
yeah,
and
yeah,
their hats
yeah,
and
yeah,
shit
yeah.
all lining
that's
up all
gets
this place.
Their shit
I mean,
together.
That's a sight to behold, man, when you're used to a typical TNB,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
typical Negro behavior, and then you see these fucking black Muslims march through and they're getting the guys to put down their crack pipes and be fathers to their kids and shit.
Right, yeah, no.
Fucking
exactly.
Amen.
That's like a leadership style that blacks need to use, I think, to keep things together, right? And we've even seen it. There's a video that's going viral on YouTube of a Southern black preacher chastising all the people in Missouri. But he is white presenting and he's integrated. Like, he's light skinned. He talks about how he doesn't have problems with the cops. He drives a nice car. He has a nice house. Like, all these, every time there's one of these interactions. It turns out that the black kid actually did fucking provoke the cop. He actually was a troublemaker. He was, you know, doing bad things. And of course, the whole community jumps on this guy, like, you're an Uncle Tom, blah, blah, blah. But like, the conditions for him being separate from his community, him being integrated into white society and accepted by whites, were created by the fucking civil rights. I mean, the civil rights movement was the worst thing that happened to black people. We can't say it enough times.
This is why anybody out there, you need to be listening to this fucking podcast. You're not going to hear that shit anywhere else.
Basically, if we're going to exist in a society with them, what they're going to need,
us on the back first for a couple minutes? I mean, where the fuck are you going to hear that kind of? I mean, Jesus Christ! I mean, where are you going to go? Who's going to tell you that is the truth of the civil rights movement?
Well,
right
we
there?
Can accept, I mean, them into our society if they take a subservient position, socially speaking, right? The individuals don't all have to be fucking bent at the knees of white men. They have to accept broadly a subservient social position under the white man's burden, really. If they're going to live in a society, we both sides have to accept that we can have a kind of symbiotic relationship, but
right.
I don't see that coming back anytime soon.
It's the same, kind of, and it's only one kind of... it's not like you are subservient to all, you know, like I'm sure
like
it would be a shitty
right?
feeling, like it would be
kind
a
of
shitty,
like a cast
would, I, yeah, but I mean, like, you totally understand, like, I was like, well, that's obviously a shitty feeling, but it's like, that's not at all the entire picture. It's like, you know how many, like, fucking white people are subservient to other white people? Like, you know how many shitty fucking white people there are? It's like, we have a social hierarchy that exists, like,
yeah,
from the most brilliant to the most worthless,
the
and it's just going to happen.
It's
you aren't going
blur,
to you aren't going to be tippy.
Factor is just another kind of spectrum laid on top of the overall thing, but like, we have to take it into account, right? Or we don't have a full picture and
right.
we can't make proper decisions.
Well, if you got a group of people who they don't work, like I'm saying group of people because it could be a particular race or it could be whoever the fuck, but. Who don't work, who don't take what's in front of them, and are essentially nobodies, who aren't entitled to anything, and at the same time demand the status of people who construct.
Right.
It's like,
yes.
are you going to look at these people really if you're like a left liberal type, like, are you going to look at these people and actually say that they are your equals,
No,
your equals? Because if you do think that they're your equals, you're probably really fucking correct.
Yeah, the thing about liberals is, like, there's no racial, there's no inequalities between races. So if the blacks are if they accept blacks are inferior, it would all have to be individuals. It's like, yeah, well, every individual black might be inferior to me, but it's not a race. It's not about race.
Well, and I wanted to go back. You know, we were talking about just kind of the black narrative, how dicked up it is. And I had an argument with two educated blacks a couple weeks ago.
Oh, that must
have
been fun.
It was awesome. And basically the thing I was asking... they were talking about how racist Republicans were and that's why they vote Democrat. It's a very rational thing. It's a very rational decision that they came to completely on their own. And I said, well, that's very interesting. Have you been to a Republican rally anytime recently? I guarantee they would, like, kiss your frickin' hand.
Oh,
like,
God.
They would love you. I mean, they go out of their way to try and treat you not only as a – not simply as a token. Like, they really just – the idea of a black – getting over his or her fucking high horse bullshit and actually coming to a position similar to theirs. I mean, that they love that. You know, and
the whites view it as like the black is realized we're not racist and like we can, they actually view it as like we're finally all equal and we can all be friends and hold hands and sing kumbaya.
Yeah.
That's how the black
conservatives are actually it. Way less fucking,
they're so fucking
racist,
they're so
than liberals.
Fucking naive.
Yeah.
Oh, they're naive
as
fuck, but they actually. Like, it's funny because liberals condemn them, but they are
way
less
really
unconsciously
they're
racist
big,
than liberals.
People, right?
Yeah, no, they're good people in my opinion, but they're naive. Go ahead.
But I that's one thing I kept bringing up. It's like,
you know, and they were agreeing with me. It's like, yeah, I've noticed that the Republicans are really trying really hard, and they're trying to make up for all of their crimes of the past, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, whatever. I was kind of just going with that narrative. I was like, well, okay, so why are you telling me that you could, like, tell me a Republican, you know, presently or in the past, or even a Republican that could exist in the future that you would vote for? Can you tell me that it's a possibility that you would ever vote Republican ever? And what they did is they bring up, oh, well, here's the Southern strategy of Nixon and blah, blah, blah during the 60s and 70s to turn the Southern states against the Democrat platform. And I was like, what the fuck does that have to do with it? And right. We eventually get to the point to where he said both of them were saying, the only way that blacks will ever vote Republican is after enough time has passed. That they can be forgiven for the crimes that they committed against blacks subconsciously 100 years ago. They're going to have to wait until every black born before, I think he pulled out like 1991. Every black born before 1991 has to die before blacks as a collective, he inferred that as a group they think this, will see Republicans as a viable party. And I said, that is, like, I couldn't even say anything. I just had to leave the conversation.
So you admit that you have like an illogical, emotional reason for this foundation. Like, that's it. Okay, cool. Shut up.
You're fucking retarded. What Oprah said about how all the old rich racist white people having to die before we can ever achieve equality. But I mean, there's something to that, right?
Yeah. There is some merit though to what those two are saying, because there's some interesting studies coming out showing that younger black males are appearing more and more conservative, which is pretty funny to me.
Well, as we're growing up, right? Everybody being taught things right now, like in the schools and shit, like they're being taught as if like all this horrible racist stuff is still happening. Like they're being taught as if the 60s and 70s and 80s are happening now by people who actually lived through that. So it's like the people telling them, they can see it in their eyes. Look how serious they are. They know what they're talking about. You know, they've lived and experienced this, so it must be true. But they've not actually seen or experienced any of it themselves. Everybody born after, like, say, around when I was born, 1988, everybody born after that has grown up completely within the confines of this new cathedral anti-racist bullshit. Like, this is all we have known. We literally, like, have not known anything else. Like, we can't remember a time when there wasn't all this anti-racist crap on TV or whatever, right? Or when there all this like gay rights acceptance. Especially now, like the kids coming of age now, were literally born in like 2000. That's after Matthew Shepard, after everything. So it's like eventually we're gonna come to realize that, you know, these people are fucking, they got to stick up their ass, and they're overreacting. The world doesn't actually conform to, like, it's not as evil and crazy as they say.
Yeah, I mean, I'm even older than you, and I think others here are older than you, and I grew up in that. I mean, all of my teachers when I was a kid were, of course, probably civil rights activists, and it was even sort of closer at that point, because it was only 10, 15, 20 years in the past, when, you know, I was a little kid in school and growing up. But yeah, I mean, everything, but it actually shifted quite dramatically, because, of course, the people that were going to be in charge of educational institutions were going to be the same kind of people that are going to go to, that would have been communists in the 60s.
The kind of people who were the activists.
Civil rights marchers, right. And they basically have now completely dicked up everybody's brain in this country, such that they can't even talk about these things. I mean, like, the average person cannot even, they can't even process.
They have no frame of reference. It's like, they're raised within a bubble.
Yeah, and the thing is that the less contact, less contact that like white kids actually have with blacks, and they've all undergone this public school, you know, framing, brainwashing about these topics, and then they watch TV, and, you know, that's things are presented in a certain frame, like it's just like they just don't. I mean, I think there is research, although that shows that basically white people are, of course, more racist the closer they actually live to black people. But there's some things that go against that. Like, I grew up in an extremely liberal part of the Northeast that was right next to a very, very vibrant area. And there was recently a really bad murder of a white teenager which is unusual because usually the blacks don't go out of the area where they're confined into the really, really wealthy white suburbs surrounding it. But they did, and they killed a white teenager, and it blew up. But, of course, the first thing his mother does, which shows how fucked up people's brains are, the first thing his mother does is start protesting about gun control. Because that was the problem. That was the reason her son was murdered for sitting in his car on the phone when, like, three feral individuals came up and killed him and stole his car. And, of course, were so stupid that they got caught that same night. Like, they basically just totally did it for fucking kicks on impulse, shot him in the head, took his fucking car, and, like, couldn't even cover their tracks, had no motive for it. I mean, it was fucking disgusting.
And these, are the stories nobody's going to riot in that kid's name.
Yeah, no, all the people the of white people, that I part went, of you know, the Northeast, that particularly affluent suburb, they're all burning down the stores in their neighborhood.
I read a story.
Oh, for every Dindu nothing, there's 5 or 10 whites, at least, who are fucking done over like that.
I read one on SBDL about some idiot who... On Craigslist, he either was trying to sell or trying to buy.
I've seen that. I used an iPad. He was okay.
He used iPad, and he met up with the Nog wherever he met him, and I mean, they just robbed and murdered him. That happens
on Craigslist all the time.
And it's always gangs of
minorities. Sometimes they're really multicultural. There's like, I seen one, it was like a white guy with dreadlocks, and then like another guy who was like,
well, that guy was
mostly
asking for
white.
It, then.
He looked white, but he had like a really like Spanish name, like a really like unintelligible Spanish name. And then there was like a mulatto girl and like a really dark black guy and like an Asian guy. Wow, so it's like the most multicultural. It's like, this is like welcome to the
TV. It's like some kind of TV
It's like a 1980s. It's like a 1980s gang.
I was going to say, it's like a TV commercial. It's like usually it's like that's like what we want to put together.
They got like their hair moosed up.
It's like they're all at the Olive Garden.
Get together.
Jesus.
Well, I mean.
Wearing leather jackets. Snapping their fingers.
Warriors. You guys ever seen that movie?
Yeah.
Was it like roller skating around subway stations?
Roller skating with like a boombox on their shoulder.
And the subway stations have like public bathrooms in them. Like, that never existed. Can you imagine subway stations?
That happens here. They got some of those.
Oh, well, yeah, you're in a much less vibrant area, though.
Just occasionally, though. It's like, it's not all the subway stations.
Dude, I can't even imagine a New York City subway station.
Although, actually, now that I think about it, the ones with the bathrooms are actually... The ones up here with the public bathrooms are the ones in more degenerate areas, generally. The ones in, like, the nice white areas. Because I guess white people don't need to piss in the fucking subway station.
We
take a piss before we leave the house and when we get to work. You're not fucking just hanging around smoking crack.
They don't need to use drugs. I mean, that's what's happening.
Yeah, that's what it's for. The baby changing desks are actually for, like, cooking up your heroin and fucking belting yourself down.
That's where you put your mirror down. I mean, that's where you chop.
I really shudder.
Oh, wait, that's an expensive drug. What the fuck am I talking about?
Hey, Bjorn, do you have, what was this about, Jew Minute or something?
Oh, well, yes, I suppose, gentlemen, we can wrap this all up.
The motivations behind all this?
Well, we're an hour and 42 in, which is pretty damn good. And that's just an hour and 42 minutes that we've wasted focusing on the issues at hand when, you know, obviously, all this was orchestrated by someone. I wonder who that was. So let's go to our friend.
Clasping my hands and intimidating.
our friend on YouTube, you can follow. We'll have to put a link up. Mr. Morakiu. I can't say that. Is that how you say that? Morakiu.
I don't know. I've only ever read it.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I know. It's one of those things you never hear, but you see. Anyway, he put together a little piece for us of what's really going on. And I'm just going to... hit it right now for you.
Pepper, you're Angus. You're about to learn how your Talmud vision has been lying to you in the last 7 days. This is the Jewish Minute. The past week of riots and protests over the officer-involved shooting of Michael Brown has culminated in Merchant's disclosure of the name of the police officer in question and revelation that Brown robbed a convenience store of a box of cigars mere minutes before being killed. Knowing the Jew, he'll probably put it in their heads that cigars should be free anyway, 'cause they's a universal human right. While much of the chimp out we saw in the last week was likely caused by the Negro's own primitive disposition, the Jewish intelligentsia played a part in egging these creatures on with their vampiric Hebrew glamours, projecting white agency onto the mindless torching of the Quickie Mart, and the shooting itself was almost certainly orchestrated by Jewish physics. This story was by far the most effective of the week when it came to distracting the Goyim from Israel murdering Palestinian babies and blowing up schools and hospitals, owing much of its success to its ability to supplant Israel in the militaristic oppression news niche. Robin Williams allegedly committed suicide on Monday. It is unknown whether he was complicit in this plot to distract Americans from the mass murder of Palestinian civilians, or was murdered by Jewish assassins who expertly targeted the celebrity whose death would elicit the most childhood feels of generations X and Y alike. The only thing that doesn't add up here is that Robin Williams was a vegan, and killing him removes a promoter of this degenerate Jew-run diet, thus helping the master race find its true destiny in the paleo diet. The two Amish girls who were kidnapped from their family's roadside vegetable stand on Wednesday mysteriously turned up on Thursday night after they had served Benjamin Netanyahu's purpose by deflecting attention away from the shelling of Palestinian children on beaches, and the international Jew had secured two patsies to take the fall for the crime. By spending this minute with me instead of being a good little productive Protestant goy, you have denied Zog one more tax shekel that would have been used to explode the bodies of Palestinian children in a UN shelter. Good on you, brother. For the rightstuff.biz, I'm Morak Yu, and this has been the Jewish Minute.
This is the Daily Show.
That was informative.
The last 100 minutes have been literally for nothing because of that.
Yeah, I mean, we completely
went on the inside loop of Jewish schemes.
That's so good.
That puts everything into perspective now.
Shut it down! Shut it down! It looks like you're on to us, boys.
It's really all about change killing tactics. Palestinians. Like, I never thought of it like this.
I will say one thing,
though. There's no people I love more than them.
That is kind of funny that after, a few weeks ago or a month or so ago when I wrote that article about how Israel will fall when all the liberal Jews infiltrate and destroy their own state, the weeks after that article was published, I got more hack attempts on the site than I ever have in any country. I'm not joking. Draw your own conclusions.
All right? Yeah, they're really trying to shut you down.
That is gospel truth.
Expect us, Goy.
That's crazy.
Well, what do we say? Should that...
predictable. That's not crazy at all.
Well, should we wrap it up here?
I guess we can wrap it up, but I still want to trigger Clay.
Well then, I guess we'll have to do one of those, what they say in the industry, a teaser. Next week on The Daily Show, we'll have a little Trigger Clay episode and see what we can do. But until then, thank you so much for joining us on the special Chimp Out edition of the TRS Daily Show. We'll talk to you next week, and always remember...
always give your best. Never get discouraged. Never be petty. Always remember, others may hate you. Those who hate you don't win unless you hate them. And then you destroy yourself.
Adios, mi general. Adios. La página que hoy día se cerró se abre allí a la historia como ráfagas de sol justo en el umbral donde se encuentran los valientes, los que se atreven.